Buenos días, señores y señoras. Can you hear me? Buenos días, señores y señoras.
Okay, I can turn it up.
And she will speak to you in a language you may understand.
Buenos días. Okay. No, I'm going to be speaking in English. There will be a translator over there ready. The whole thing is going to be in English. Okay. Hi, beautiful people. My name, as you know, is Sandra Villain. And this beautiful dog is my service dog, Sashi. She's my blessing and my gift from God. Before I get going, I want you all to know a few things about me. At times, I may slow down and slur my speech. Please do not be alarmed. It does not mean I'm an alcoholic or that I have been drinking. It just means that I'm just under the influence of the Holy Spirit and full of the Word. Amen?
Amen.
I do suffer from an illness that makes it hard at times to speak and pronounce words. When I close my eyes, it does not mean I'm falling asleep or that I do not want to see all your beautiful faces. I close my eyes because it allows me to focus and concentrate better. When too much information comes into my brain all at once, it can be overwhelming, causing me to slow down and slur my speech. Therefore, if you all can be patient with me and hold your questions until the end, I will appreciate it so much. I would love to remember everything I would like to say and address off the top of my head without having to read my notes, but I can't. This is not how my brain works. It will take too much of my energy and physically drain me. I say all this not to discourage you from asking any questions, but it is to give you all a better understanding how I communicate with people at times. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for taking an interest in my book and for gathering in fellowship here today to allow me to share with you all how, by listening to God through His Spirit, I was able to fulfill His purpose, be victorious, and win the battle. I truly believe the devil was after me from the time I was conceived. He was at work from the time I took my first breath here on earth. The devil thought by deploying his demons to scare me, using people, family, and my husband to create chaos in my life, he was going to stop and derail me from God's purpose and plan. By creating fear and exposing me to unimaginable things at a young age, he thought for sure I would crumble and fall. He bet on my innocence and immaturity that I was surely going to give in to his lies and deceit. There was one thing the devil did not know. As much as the devil made his presence known to me throughout my life, there was even a stronger and greater presence that had a hold of me. And that was my Almighty God. God told me all about the devil, who he was and how he worked. God spoke to me and I listened. Unlike the devil, God never had to run after me. God was always with me and I was always with him. God chose me and I chose him. Some people may ask, weren't you scared knowing the devil was lurking, watching, and making his presence known to you? Most children will have run. All I can tell you is I was never scared. I will get so lost in God's presence that no fear nor any distraction can ever have taken me away from that calmness, love, and peace that comes when you're in the presence of your Lord. As a child, I wanted to stay in God's presence forever. Through my close and strong relationship with the Holy Spirit, God was able to speak to me without saying a word. Let me explain. When God speaks to me without saying a word, I'm automatically transported into my secret place. In my secret place, nothing exists. Not one person, not any substance of any kind, not one sound or noise. is just me with my God. I'm in His glorious presence. It is an amazing feeling. It is an overwhelming sensation of love, peace, and warmth that is everlasting. God's Spirit is so much alive and so real that it makes it hard to describe. There's no beginning or end. God's Spirit reassures, guides, directs, embraces, and comforts me. He lets me know He will always be with me and that He will never let me go. God is my light. He's my refuge. He's my friend. When He speaks, I listen. Whatever He says, I believe. Whatever He reveals, I believe. He always tells me the truth. In my book, He speaks to me without saying a word. I explain to my readers how through listening and having a relationship with God's Spirit, I was able to strongly connect with God. I also explain how God prepared and equipped me throughout my life for a battle He wanted me to fight. My book touches on the importance of listening to God and being led by the Spirit. My book demonstrates how God uses circumstances, events, people, believers, unbelievers, family, and yes, even a child to help fulfill His will, His purpose, and His plans. The book also demonstrates how He will at times create or allow things to happen to us in order to protect, grow, learn, build, prepare, teach, correct, discipline, bring to light, make known, bring together, and the list goes on and on. Before I go into my storyline, allow me to give you a quick summary of how my husband and I met. My husband and I met when we both were stationed in Germany. We were both U.S. Army sergeants. My future husband, Sergeant V, was a newly pinned sergeant, and just before I left for Germany, I was told I made the promotion list. However, I needed to wait 90 days before I can get pinned with my next rank. Here I am in Germany in processing with four other soldiers, to include Sergeant V, and three privates. Since I was the only one with a German driver license, I was able to rent a car. My German license was still valid from the last time I was stationed in Germany. Sergeant V and I were able to help the privates in processing. Having a car made it easier for everyone. We did not have to march everywhere. In processing took about a month because besides in processing, we had to attend a two-week basic German speaking course. Just when we were about done with in processing and were getting ready to go to our assigned unit, I was told that I was going to be the acting warehouse NCO IC. With respect, allow me to put it in civilian terms, I was going to be the head honcho, the one in charge. I was going to oversee all the unit's warehouse logistics and soldiers, including Sergeant V. This was the beginning of all things to come. Moving forward, a year and a half later, my unit was getting ready to be deployed to Iraq and possibly Afghanistan soon after. This was going to be Sergeant V's first deployment. As for me, I was a pro. It was not my first rodeo. Because of circumstances, I was not able to deploy with my unit to Iraq or be with my squad. Throughout a period, in total, Sergeant V ended up serving three tours in Iraq. After every deployment, he came back a different man. He was angry and distant. I tried to help him, but with no success. He tried to change, but with no success. Things were getting worse between us. There will be little improvement, but it did not last long. I made sure no one knew what was going on behind closed doors. I always felt something was missing, something we were not putting our finger on. We became masters of hiding our emotions from everyone. When we tried to fix things, it always failed. When we chose and allowed to let God be in the mix of all things, that is when all began to change. But it did not happen without a price to pay. Hard lessons had to be learned before we were able to become who God intended us to be. Side note. The poems found inside my book came first, and then the inspiration to write my book came years later. For this reason, I feel it's only right to tell my story by reading my poems. The following poems will be told by sequence and stages of events. During his first deployment, the poem is called Slipping Away. The pain, hurt, and sorrows were too much to bear. To hear the sadness and defeat in his voice was very rare. So much chaos going inside his head. He does not know if he's going to wake up dead. He wants to come home. They will not allow it. He must serve his time. The demon of war said to him, "You cannot go anywhere. You are on my time." He must stay and fight. This is the life he chose. He continued to receive the devil's blows. If only he knew, God can show him how to make it go away. All he must do is to trust in God, and only he can take it all away. After his second and third deployment, the man I knew, the man I know. The man I love is no longer alive. The man I dislike is very much alive. He was always amazed in what I can do. He always wants to control all that I do. Blue roses were always his present. He brings terror at his presence. He always made me smile and fill my heart with happiness. His eyes makes me shiver and fill my heart with sadness. When I saw him, I saw a caring and godly man. When I see him, I see an out of control and evil spirit in man. His self-being is very predictable. His self-being is very unpredictable. These two men may seem not to have anything in common, but if the truth was known, then you will see they have a lot more in common. They share the same body, mind, and soul. Can you see? It's almost plain to see that the man I speak about is just one man. You may ask, how can he be? Is it possible? Yes, it can be. Next poem. Just before the battle, my daughter, the name of the poem. Be prepared and be ready. The storm is coming. It will turn your world upside down. You will feel loss, pain, and hurt, but you will not be alone. Be strong in your faith to me, and I will not steer you wrong. You will not want or welcome what I'm about to let happen, but know this, daughter, you will not be forgotten. Know that you are very precious to me, but this journey, it must take place. It must be. There will be days you want to give up, and days you will feel there is no way out. Know this, my daughter, I will never leave you without. This is something you must see through, so have no doubt. I am your father. This is who I am. This is who I am all about. From the valley of the shadow of death, I will bring you out. Count on me. Place your entire burden on me, and you will see how much you mean to me. So, daughter, hold your head up and look to me. Together, we will get through this and achieve victory. The beginning of my battle. The name of the poem is called My Journey. What just happened? The devil came and completely took over. It is as if the devil spoke to him and told him to move over. The devil took control over his mind, body, and soul. It appeared as if he was left without a soul. He turned his pupils jet black. He became very dark and cold. The devil wanted to make sure his presence was known. Dear God, the devil was standing right in front of me. What should I do? Where should I go? The devil's here for me, this I know. Hold on, my daughter, be strong. I'm here, you are not alone. Follow this through and you will soon know. This must take place, do not let go. You will overcome this, let the truth be known. Use my strength and continue to be strong. It is almost over, he will soon be gone. What is taking place will soon be done. It will not be long, so please, my child, hold on. The journey I have planned for you have just begun. This is after the battle. It consists of two poems. Name of the first poem is Until the Day. Nightmares are torturing me night and day. He's in my head every day. I live my life in terror and pain. My mind is going to explode. I am so drained. All I want to do is lay in my bed. It takes a lot of energy to get off my bed. I want to sleep, but all I do is weep. I'm sinking deeper into this pit. Just when I cannot take it anymore, my children come running through the door. Suddenly I'm awake. All the pain went away. I have no aches. Under God's grace, my children brought me back. I am so relieved my mind is back on track. It is a struggle every day dealing with this nightmare and this pain. God shows me I'm blessed and that there is much more to all this mess. My faith in God and the love of my children are what makes my day. So I will hold on until the day I can say there is no more nightmares and no more pain. Next poem, Setting My Mind Free. Inside the gate, I'm a different person. I'm a soldier wearing sergeant's hat, and there is no debate about that. I am strong-minded, focused, and I get respect. I execute my mission, and my mission's needs are always met. Outside the gate is a different story. I become hesitant. I cannot concentrate. There's always worry. I sit in my car and I turn to God. I say out loud, reassure me with your presence, oh dear God. Before I leave out, I take a second. I breathe in, I breathe out. It's a long stretch before I reach to my house. Here comes the battle in my head. I want to stay in reality, but my mind wants to stay in the moment instead. I need to remain focused, look forward, and look ahead. I need distractions so the moment will not get the best of me. I need to think about my blessings and what they mean to me. My God, my children, my life, and my family. This is what is important to me. Happy memories come to mind. Grandma making coffee and telling me her childhood stories. Hearing raindrops falling. Seeing my daddy smile. This is my escape to no worries. My mind has calmed me down. I'm at ease. I know exactly what I need to set my mind free. I can count my blessings and think about what matters to me. Next, reality. It consists of two poems. First poem is called Today. I feel defeated. I feel discouraged and distraught. I feel numb. I feel as if I'm floating in space. Not here, no there, not anywhere. I'm drained physically, mentally, and emotionally. I'm tired, exhausted, and without energy. When will all this end? The clock is ticking, but it stands still for me. I'm stuck in the moment where there's neither beginning nor end. Just in between living and existing, taking life moment day by day. I know I will persevere and overcome one day, but today is not that day. Second poem, He is in my head. He is in my head from the time I wake up until it's time for bed. I pray in the morning, I pray in between, I pray at night, dear Lord, when would I ever be? To be strong and independent, this is who I know I can be. However, he's in my head from the time I wake up until it's time for bed. With no regards to my feelings, my hopes and dreams, he's like a thief. He will do anything to steal my freedom, joy, and peace. I will not give him a time or day, but it still continues haunting me even until this day. He's in my head from the time I wake up until it's time for bed. To see me beneath, I know that will make his day, but I will not let him come in between my new adventures, my life, and my beliefs, because each day is a different day. I'm a new person approaching life day by day, with new expectations, charging life's turmoil head on, come what may. I'm getting stronger, wiser, and trying to live life with no dismay, but there are times I cannot help it. He's in my head from the time I wake up until it's time for bed. Next is Clarity and Healing. Consists of two poems. First poem, God Has a Plan for Me. From the time you put your hands around my neck, I should have let you go, I should have left. I should have wished we never met, but it was already too late. I was yours and you were my mate. You were my lover, partner, and friend. There was nothing to mend. I accepted it all until the end. If only I could have seen what was yet to come, I could have stopped it before it began. No matter what came my way, I was willing to receive, come what may. No matter the cost, I wanted to stay. No matter if there was a price to pay. I gave into your games. I even learned your ways. You became my husband. I became your wife. We were supposed to be together and be as one for life. Things between us were not going right. It was getting scary day and night. No need to scream, fuss, and fight. We need to part to make things right. I need to be with peace, so I let you be, because only God can help you be the man you used to be. Maybe I was not right for you, but you were right for me. I once lost what I gained, but I have gained what I once lost. Things needed to happen the way it did, so I too can be set free. I now know God had always been with me. I see clearly why things had to happen the way it did, so I can live the life the way God intended it to be. My next poem, A Beautiful Day. Night and day, it sits and waits for me, like a predator waiting on its prey, for the right moment to cause excruciating pain that will make its day. I look back, I look forward, I look everywhere. I just cannot swallow it all. Will I still be here today, or will I be gone tomorrow? It laughs at me. It torments and hunts me night and day. It will always make its presence known, just a reminder that it will never leave me alone. When would it leave? When would it be gone? Until then, I hold my head up and be strong, taking it one day at a time. This is all I can do. I know I will be fine. Sooner or later, my day will be taken away from him. I will be victorious. The day will be mine. I know there will come a day where it will get tired and go on its way. No more fear, no more worries. It will just be a beautiful day. The Healing Stage consists of three poems. A poem to my ex-husband, a poem to the devil, and a poem to God. First poem, a poem to my ex-husband, titled, Do You Know How I Feel? When I am in your presence, my body shivers. It trembles inside. When I hear your voice, my stomach becomes full of knots, and as you speak, it multiplies. When you look at me, I panic. I hide behind sunglasses, so you cannot see the fear in my eyes. When you are near me, I hold my breath. My heart starts pounding. I am a mess. When we meet, I make sure I'm surrounded with people or in a crowd. Left alone with you is not an option. It's not even allowed. When you are around, I'm full of fear and terror, but please have no doubt. I'm stronger and wiser. I will gather myself. I will never keep my head down. I am a sergeant in the army. I'm ready and willing to hold my ground. I am a woman that can do anything. I do not need you around. I'm a woman who's led by the Spirit. No more silence. I'm cheering out loud. God is good. God is great. He kept his promise. He kept me safe. God is true to his word. He was always with me. He never let me go. All that I have written is not to make you feel little or make you feel upset. It is what it is. It needed to be said. My mind is clear. My mind is set. I wish you no harm. I wish you peace. Now you know where I'm heading and how I feel. I will never accept defeat. There is something else I need you to know, and know it well. You will never be a conqueror. You will always be under my feet. All is good and all is well. I hope you enjoy your life, and I wish you well. Next poem, a poem to the devil. The name of the poem is Don't You Know. When the devil is knocking at my door, my God tells me, do not worry, I'm here, you're mine and I'm yours. When the devil is trying to get to my heart, my God tells me, keep my strength, do not fear, do not fall apart. When the devil is putting thoughts in my head, my God tells me to ease and clear my mind, not to listen, to continue moving ahead. When the devil is trying to hunt and torment me with things of the past, my God tells me to let it go and not to let it linger in my head. My God tells me what the devil does and the things he says are all dead. Therefore, do not empower or bring life to anything he does or say. His days are numbered. I will not allow him to stay. He will not hurt you, not even for one more day. The devil is like a plague. He will plant his seeds and hope it will all spread. My child, the next time the devil is playing with your heart, mind, and head, tell the devil, my God said to tell you, you do not have very much time left. Let the truth be known. From the time you knocked at my door, you made it personal. He's coming full force. He's coming with arsenal. My life is not yours to take. Your fate is sealed. You will be erased. This is what God reminded me and let me know, never astray from his words, and to be bold. God is coming for you, don't you know? In case you didn't know, now you know. The next poem is a poem to God, and it's called Only You Can. Only you can set me free from myself. Only you can give me riches, glory, and wealth. Only you can pull me out from the deepest pit. Only you can plan my life as you feel fit. Only you can put my mind at ease. Only you can give me clarity and peace. Only you can help me focus and not fall apart. Only you can mend my broken heart. Only you can demonstrate true love and affection. Only you can guide me in the right direction. Only you can hold the key to my eternity. Only you can be so kind and give me mercy. Only you can help me with my condemnation. Only you can give me a reassurance through manifestation. Only you, my Jesus, my God and Lord, can deliver me to my salvation. The next is the closure stage, and it's a message from God, and it's called The End of My Journey. What just happened? God came and completely took over. It's as if God spoke to me and told me all my pain and sorrows are over. God took control over my mind, body, and soul. It appeared as if he gave me back a new soul. He turned his pupil back to normal. He was coming into his own. God wanted to let me know he never left me. I was never alone. God said, my peace, my strength was always with you. The Holy Spirit spoke to you and my sword and shield protected you. You were surrounded by my angels, my hands, my eyes were always upon you. The Holy Spirit always told you what to do and where to go. You always followed my direction. You did what you were told. I always allow my presence to be seen by you. My daughter, I'm so very proud of you. Even though you knew a battle was on its way, you still accepted and followed it all the way. You took up this fight because you always had faith in me. I knew you would overcome as long as you kept your eyes on me. I knew you would be victorious, let the truth be known. You used my strength and continued to be strong. I promise you, when it was all over, the brokenness and fear will all be gone. The journey has ended, all is finished, all is done. Let the devil know the battle has just been won. The final poem, and it's called Loyal Servant. I am a part of God's army. I'm a soldier of God. When he does not speak and I do not hear from him, I will remain loyal and ask no questions. When I do not feel his presence and do not feel his divine touch, I will remain loyal and ask no questions. When I do not have answers and I have been thrown into a pit, I will remain loyal and ask no questions. When all is coming at me all at once and I feel I'm losing my mind, I will remain loyal and ask no questions. I will be forever dedicated to him and try my best to represent him well. I am a soldier of God. I am a loyal servant. 2 Timothy 2:4, NIV Bible. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilians' affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. In June 2012, my divorce was finalized, and my request to the judge to relocate my kids to Florida was granted. Within the second week of relocating to Florida, my kids and I started to attend Bible fellowship. Even though I was attending church and surrounding myself with believers and positive people, the devil was coming at me strong. God knew I needed help, so he sent me two amazing earthly angels, Pastor Andy and Miss Adana Church. They were so kind, genuine, and caring. There was no judgment, no rocks thrown at me, just pure love and compassion. As long as I continued to listen and seek God, he continued to send more angels my way, such as Pastor Andy's wife, Miss Gwen, my son, the class sister, too many to mention, and some wonderful people outside the church as well. For people to allow themselves with no hesitation to be used by God, to be an angel to someone, especially to someone they do not know, is one of those things that is so beautiful to see in action. They will forever be my earthly angels. Here it is, 10 years later, still coming to Bible fellowship and still attending Miss Adana's church Sunday class. I'm still as grateful to this church as the day I was led by the Holy Spirit to walk in through those doors. As for my ex-husband, God continued to work with him separately. Soon after God set me free and opened my eyes, I ended my relationship with my boyfriend. My ex-husband and I began to communicate daily. A few months later, in December 2015, we remarried. We had a small wedding ceremony in the sanctuary right over there where Pastor Andy remarried us. Soon after that, my husband became a member of Bible Fellowship, and he is currently a Bible Fellowship deacon. Well, children of God, this concludes my speech, so now I open the floor for questions.
How come you didn't include your last poem?
I can hear.
How come you didn't include the poem Lost? That was nice. I loved that one.
Thank you.
Did you have a poem Lost?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. I was being led by the Spirit when I was putting all this together, and the poem Lost was not part of the arrangement. I'm sorry, but I'm happy to hear you like the poem.
We can read it.
Oh,
should
poem
we read
Lost?
It?
Mm-hmm. Let's see if I can find it.
You said it's
near the front.
Let me tell you about. Yeah. Once I wrote this book and it was published, I closed the book. I never opened it ever since it was published. So,
I read it twice.
Because
she read it twice.
That journey of mine was over, so I closed the book on it.
It is finished.
It is finished.
It's a finished work. Yeah. God.
So you said it was in the front.
But the in the first draft.
We can give her the book, and she can find it for us.
Yeah, I'll look for it.
Let me check one more.
Okay.
Nope. Oh, yes.
Okay.
The name of the poem is Lost. I'm living moment by moment and day by day. I have lost my way. Please, God, show me the way. I go left, I go right. I go in circles like a merry-go-round. The woman and soldier I used to be cannot be found. I used to be wise, firm, and strong. I can't do anything right. Everything is wrong. I feel I can't get away. There's no way out. I start thinking about my God and what he is all about. No more running, no more hiding. No more sadness, no more sighing. This is what God had to say. Don't go his way, don't go her way. Stay with me and I will show you the way.
Good.
And I also have not read my poems since I closed the closest chapter in my life.
I have a question. I know in your book you stated, as a child, God was your friend. He was your escape and someone you could trust. Did you ever know who you were to him?
God never revealed, no, he ever spoke to me without saying a word about who I was to him. He did not need to show me or tell me. I just knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that I know that I know that I know in my heart who I was before he even put me on my journey, spoke to me about the plans, the obstacles that were about to happen. He just put it in my heart and let me know that I was, right off the back, that I was a soldier of God, a servant of God, and a child of God. I was his daughter. Mm-hmm. So that I did not have to doubt, question, or ask for anything. I just knew that I knew that I knew that I know that I know that I know.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes.
How old were you when you became in charge of that... in the service? What were you? Is that when you became an NCO?
No, I was already when I took over the warehouse, the NCOIC.
Yeah, when the men always gave you a hard time.
Oh, that was from day one. That's when I was private.
No, you advanced up.
Yeah, I was already a sergeant when I went to when I met my husband.
Yeah,
and then I moved up to the next rank.
How did you overcome how everybody was treating you poorly? Through God?
I just knew who I was. I didn't need their approval. I know I had the rank. I earned my rank.
Amen.
And I did not care if you were older than me or you were a man or a woman. You need to respect my rank.
How old were you then? Because you were 20 when you went in.
Right. When I became a sergeant, I was... When the very first time I became a sergeant, it was in 1998. Are you going to let me tell everybody my age? In 98. I was born in 71.
So you were 28.
Something like that. Yeah.
27.
Well, I thought it was amazing how your uncle inspired you so much that you became not only a soldier to God, but for our country.
Right.
And I thought that was amazing.
I know. It's like when my uncle, you know, he went through his things, went to Vietnam, but who knew that God was using him, his journey, his issues and problems to prepare me for what it was, for what was just to come, and gave me the tools and the knowledge and the protection that I needed to equip me to fight.
You know, it was amazing that he did so much for you, but nobody else saw that in him.
I know.
That was good.
I know. Thank you for acknowledging my goal.
I have another question. From being on this journey and going through your experiences, what is the most important thing you would like married couples to know?
Oh, yes, that's an easy one for me. Now is an easy one for me. Back then, it wasn't. That God must be number one. God must be the foundation of your marriage at all time, from beginning to end. You cannot let him go. You cannot put family or work or anything else first. God must always be number one and the foundation of your marriage.
Okay, I have another one. What do you want your readers to know or learn from reading your book?
You must always listen to God when he speaks. If you don't, he's going to come after you over and over and over and mess with your head over and over. He will not leave you alone until you do what he tells you to do. So it's better just when you listen, when he talks and tell you to do something, just do it. Just do it right there and then.
Do you think your life would have been better if you would have listened to God during those years where you kind of wasn't listening?
Well, I was kind of caught up and I wasn't really listening, but I never lost track of my mission. When I was caught up, I never lost sight of my mission.
Good.
I don't know if you can. I don't know if I'm explaining myself. I knew my mission. I never let that go. But I knew, when I was caught up, I was enjoying this the moments here. But I knew there was still something I needed to complete. So, and for some reason, I knew this was temporary. So, yeah, I still had a mission to complete.
Was there ever a time you wanted to question, blame, quit, or detour from God's plan?
Never. Like I was telling you, even though I was caught up for a second here and there, I just never... The thing is, when I say caught up, I mean, I put God was always first in my life. But then somehow, I put him last in my life. But he was always part of my life. But I never lost sight of what I needed to do. So I never got angry or upset or no. You know, okay. I can't say that I did.
I don't think the average person would have gone through what all you did and stayed loyal until
but
the very
God.
End, finally, after how many years?
But God.
You divorced him.
God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But okay. God is God.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And when you experience God, his presence and what he's all about, how can you let that go and forget that?
You reminded me of Job.
Moni has a question.
What was the reaction of your children when you started being in contact with your ex?
Okay, when I started speaking to my husband, I needed to be sure that this was going to be something that is not temporary or something that it was just going to, something like a tryout. Oh, if it works out, then fine. I didn't want my kids to get their hopes up thinking that their parents are going to get back together. So I made very sure that when we started to talk and go out and get to know each other again, that it was going to be, that it was solid. The relationship was solid. And then when I finally told my kids are so smart. Kids, they came out and told me, they told me, oh, we already knew. We already knew because you're smiling, your whole demeanor changed, and so Yeah, they already knew before I even told them that it was, that I was talking to their father.
But you kept them at arm's length for a long time.
For a while, yeah.
I love the part when you were, you know, it was scary, you know, for you at first. But the Holy Spirit convicted you and said to her, when was the last time you saw your children smile? You know, and that really did convict her. You know, that I think that was a turning point.
It was very important to me that when we were going through this change and not having their father there and not having my husband be a part of the family, not to talk down and talk bad about their father. It was very important to me because I needed them to pray. Every night we would pray for him. And I will always tell him, well, Daddy's a little sick, you know, we need to pray. Because I was looking ahead. What about, even though I had it in my heart thinking that I would never get back with him, but just in case, because, you know, God likes to show out and he likes to, you know, turn things around. Just when you thought you knew everything, God has another plan.
Yes, he does.
So I just needed to make sure it was important to me because if the day came that I was going to be with my husband again, it was going to create more of a problem and issue between my relationship between me and my kids, because if I talk bad about their dad all those years and try my best to turn them against him, and then here I am, hey, your dad is here, and you need to love him again. He's part of the family. It will create more chaos and more maybe anger towards me because I try to brainwash them to, you know, not to accept him, that he's the bad guy, and then all of a sudden I'm supposed to accept him and he's a good guy. I didn't want to cause any confusion or any issues and problems down the road. So I just told him to pray for him. And they did. Every night they did. Every night.
And God heard those prayers of those children.
Oh, yeah.
I have an... Oh, Kay had a question.
I'm the mother of two Marines, two retired Marines, one after 22 years and one after 16, Major and Staff Sergeant, who were both in Iraq and Afghanistan and in the Mediterranean. So I know what it is from a mom's perspective. I was just wondering what type of relationship you had with your parents and if they influenced you any.
Well, my parents came here. My father has passed away a long time ago. But he came here with the intentions of doing good, being a good person, a good worker, but he decided to go the other route and choose the fast lane. And he became involved with drugs. He was a drug dealer. And then years later, he got in the mix of what in that type of lifestyle. So, yeah. But I was still, you know, daddy's girl, you know. But, yeah, he got mixed in all that. And unfortunately, he passed away from... I mean, he stopped using drugs later down in his years, but it's caught up with him, and he suffered for the choices he made, you know, when dealing with drugs and what have you. And as far as my mom lives in New York, still lives in New York. I cannot get her out of New York. That's her comfort zone. She knows everything. She knows everyone. She knows where to go, where not to go. If you need anything, she's your girl, you know. But, yeah, my mom, she's still a big part of my life. And she was, she had her issues. It was a struggle for a little bit. At one point, I did not speak to her for 15 years because I had to get my life, make sure my life is, because I didn't want that part of life. So I wanted to make sure I was focused and nothing derail me from my mission, you know. So, but my mom is saved. She was saved when she was 62. And we talk and we have a great relationship. And I'm so, when she tells me, oh, I'm so proud of you, I turn it around and I tell her, no, Mom, I'm so proud of you. And we spend hours just talking about God. Mm-hmm. And that puts a smile on my face.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So,
yeah. Mary?
And how old were you, or when did you really turn your life over to God? When did you accept Jesus?
Oh, well, God always been a part of my life. You know, he was my friend. You know, the whole, I mean, he was just always there. But I can tell you, after the incident between my husband and I took place. I remember I was driving. I fled from my husband. I had my kid. I had a four expedition, and the back was full with everything that I can grab. Everything that I managed to grab, I just put it in there. And then I had my kids in the vehicle. And I remember I was driving. And I almost caused an accident. And I came up to a traffic light, and I almost hit the car in front of me. And then all of a sudden, I stomped on my brakes, and I started screaming out right there. I didn't care who was listening. I didn't care where I was, what was taking place. And I screamed down, and I said, God, I need your help. I need you. I need you to reassure me. Because I knew exactly what I needed to do, but at that moment, I just needed him just to reassure me. And I just screamed, and I said, I need a hug. And then all of a sudden, everything stopped. Nothing mattered. I didn't see, I think everything was still going on. But at that moment, it's as if time stopped. And he gave me this big embrace, and it was so loving and so warm, and so I just felt so much peace and love. And then all of a sudden, as soon as it came, it left, and I was right back at that traffic light. The light was red, and I was good because he gave me that hug that I needed. So, and then in doing so, before, it was just the Holy Spirit, and I knew it was God. But at that moment, he let me know that God, who God was, who Jesus was, and the Holy Spirit, it was one. He somehow let me know in my heart that it was just God. It was God, one, Jesus. Oh my gosh, Jesus. Because in the past, I knew it was the Holy Spirit and God, but I didn't really know. I didn't put Jesus, the name Jesus. I knew Jesus, but I didn't put the name Jesus to God. You know, I always thought they were separate. But at that moment, I knew it was all one. Jesus is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd like to know, how long did it take you to write your book? And how did it all come about?
Well, I started with my poems first.
Okay.
And then after I wrote my poems, I wrote the book before my husband and I remarried. I did not know the reward that was coming to me, which is bringing my family back together. But the minute that he opened my eyes and he took my fear away from me, And he put that love back in my heart for my husband. That's when I was able to write this book. But at the time, just leading to writing the book, I still will cry just reading the poems and still write my poems. I was still was emotional. But the minute I was led to write the book, it was okay. It was just like the flow. It was just, it wasn't me writing the book. It was the Holy Spirit through me writing the book. So, yeah.
And how you did the chapters?
Yeah, well, it came to me, well, throughout the time after that, it came, God would put it in my head, the titles of the chapters. And then he would let me know that when it's time for me to read a book, I needed to go back. And once I read the title, I just started writing the chapters. And it just transitioned. I mean, it was very easy. I didn't have no block. What do you call that? Author's block? Writer's block. It was just easy. I would forget to eat. I would forget to go use the bathroom. I would forget to feed my kids. No. It was just, and then when I stopped, I took care of the kids, cooked, whatever. Then at night, it was me time. I go back, sit down on the computer, and just continue where I left off, like nothing. It was just easy, very easy.
Anybody else have any questions?
Sandra, I think that you're in the midst of writing another book now. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. You see, God, I've been... God, I tell you, he likes to show out. Okay. God has been giving me little things here and there where I need to put down, make sure I write it down. He's been giving me titles after titles after titles after titles. So, yeah. But it's taken over 15 years, 20, almost 20 years or so that I have been listening to God and writing down the titles and titles. And he's letting me know that the time is coming for me to put all those titles and put it, you know, into a book. And, yeah. And the title he has given me for the book itself, and it might change because sometimes he likes to play tricks on me. It's called God, the Devil, and Me. And the word me is crossed. There's a line through it. And then on the top it says flesh. And then underneath the title it says the Book of Questions. And that's the way I see it. But who knows, because you know God likes to change, you know.
Do you want to mention your
oh,
children?
Oh, yes. Besides my, he speaks to me without saying a word, I also have a children's book that is spiritual. There are spiritual messages in the book. And this one is called Mommy, Will You Always Love Me? And this is... inspired by my oldest daughter, and her name is Sandriana. Mm. Yeah, and this is, and they're true events, you know. And then this is my son's, my youngest son, being me, Anthony Brian McKnight, and it's also true event. It's about peer pressure, but throughout the book, there's little hidden things. Where you can't see, you know, like I write hidden spirit messages. It's out in the open, but you have to really look at it and mm-hmm. see. Yeah, but they're all led by the Spirit, and it's about my children. It's just a way maybe to be able to get to kids and introduce them to issues of what's going on in the world. But at the same time, if you allow God to be in that mix of all that, He can take care of it. So, yeah, that's it. And they're all available for purchase after the book.
Tell them the price.
And then all proceeds will go to the Naomi Ministry. Yes. And then,
The books will be over at this table over here. Mary will be over there if you want to just look at them and see what they're all about. So God is in the business of doing above and beyond what we could ever think or imagine. You know, what a beautiful couple. You know, God's work, you know, there's nothing in this world that's like what God can do for each one of us. He knows. He knows what our needs are. And so let's...
Something that just came to mind. Mm-hmm. You know, all that time, I had a tremendous fear. And I always guarded my heart. Like, whenever he decided to come see our kids, I will make sure I stay a distance, just enough to, I don't know, be able to run if I have to run, grab my kids and leave or what. But anyway, I had that tremendous fear, that guard. Mm. But the minute it was time for me, for my husband and I to get back together, throughout those years of fear and anger towards my husband and guarding my heart, it was years. But when God decided it is time to get me and my husband back together, He took it in a second, just like that.
Yes.
It was gone. And I, even if I try to remember, it's like, it was just gone. It took years to hold on to that fear and guard my heart, but it just took seconds in an instant for God to take it all away. That's how powerful God is. Mm-hmm. And God will always have the last word. Mm-hmm. So, yes. Mm-hmm.
Let's close in prayer. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, we praise You and thank You for this precious couple and this precious family, Lord. We pray that the glory of the Lord would be their rear guard, Lord, that You would always keep Your hand upon them, Lord, leading, guiding, and directing their steps each and every day, Father. And we will give You all the praise and all the glory for Your goodness, for Your mercy, and for Your grace, that great grace that is just so amazing grace. We praise You and thank You that Sandra and her husband, John, can see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Mm-hmm. So continue to bless them, Father. Bless the words of their mouth and the meditation of their hearts, Lord. I know her husband is a godly man. He follows You. He listens to You, Lord. So we pray Your blessings upon John and Sandra. In Your holy and precious name, bless all that came today. Mm-hmm. Encourage them, walk with them, and be with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
And may I say thank you for Ms. Donna for inviting and giving me the opportunity to share my story. Thank you for those who helped to make this gathering possible. And lastly, thank you all for taking the time to come here today. Thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.